Good morning. I promise this is not like third grade show and tell, and I brought something up here to show today. It's part of my talk. And the title of my talk today is, what color chair do you usually sit in? And to tell the story, I brought these chairs, the different colors, and I'll explain why the different animals are on there in just a few minutes. The chairs are kind of the protagonist of what I'm going to talk about. And to tell that, I want to share a personal story of something that will help kind of blend into the talk. Later this month, it will be my brother's birthday, and he passed away 1 year ago, very tragically. But I know his presence is here. I know he's with us. He was just a beautiful soul. And being that beautiful soul that he was, he had a friend who had a daughter that they weren't sure what was going to happen. Her mother had never been in the picture. The father was a severe alcoholic. He had cirrhosis of the liver. And Michelle basically raised herself. And so David, being the guy that he was, he decided to legally adopt Michelle. And when he did, we all knew it was going to be a different dynamic for our family. We had no idea what it was going to be. She was a little girl who had never really known what true love was all about. She had never been, you know, loved by her parents for the situation that she was in. But Michelle came into the family. She was nothing short of a bright light. And I knew I wanted to get to know her better, because they lived down in Fort Lauderdale. And I decided I was going to fly down to Fort Lauderdale and spend some time with my family and get a little bit of time with Michelle. So I decided the thing to do would be to have kind of an uncle, niece type situation where we would go out away from the family and just she and I do something special. And so we talked about it. We decided we'd go out to eat, we'd walk around, and maybe have ice cream or something afterwards. And we did. We chose to go out to Fridays, and we were having dinner. Everything was going well. And I noticed she didn't eat all of her dinner, but I didn't say anything. And she kept looking down at her phone, and I didn't pay any attention to that either. So we left the restaurant. We started walking around down in Fort Lauderdale, just kind of looking at stores and going by shopping and looking at windows, not really doing a lot of stuff. And I looked around and she's constantly, and I'm thinking to myself, gosh, you know, I spent this time, I came down here to be with you, but yet you're spending this time on your phone. What a distraction. But then I kind of passed it off and said, oh, you know, it's just these kids. You know, she's at that certain age. She wants to be with her friends. And it soon got to be apparent that she was just really kind of tied up with her phone. And I realized at that moment that I had some choices to make. My first choice would have been to sit in this chair and be angry and be upset and say, why did you do this? I spent all this time, and I could have given her disconcerting looks or let her know how angry I was. But I thought, no, don't do that. That's really not the best choice. So then I thought to myself, well, maybe if I'd made the decision and thought about this sooner, I wouldn't have done this. I would have brought one of her friends along. I would have made it easier. I would have done something to kind of break the ice and not let her know that I was upset or angry or anything else. And I just thought, well, you know, she's getting to know her uncle and she's not comfortable. So just kind of let it go. And I thought, okay, I'll do that. But then I kept thinking about it, and I decided that I should be kind of in the middle ground and not think of it that way. I should think, well, this is tough for her. She's getting to know me. I'm getting to know her. She's probably uncomfortable. She's probably nervous. And she's having her own issues of, you know, whatever's going on, getting adjusted with the family. And I then thought to myself, darn it, I wish I'd have had more to drink at Fridays. But then I realized that that would not have been a good option because I was the designated driver to get us back home. So I knew that that would not be an option. So I kept thinking about it and decided, well, I could think of it this way. I could think, you know, I really, really want to make a connection with Michelle. I want her to love me. I want her to know that it's an open door. She can come to me anytime. If David, my sister, anybody is not available, she can come to me and turn to me. And I just wanted this to be something special. I wanted it to really be something good. And I thought, well, you know, maybe one more way to think about it is, what's going on in her mind? What is it that she needs? What can a 12-year-old girl who has not really had a good life to this point be thrown into a family she's familiar with, but yet how would she get comfortable? What's going on in her mind? What's going on in her heart? And so I decided that that was probably the choice I should make and let it go. And we are walking around a little bit more. And of course, we have dogs everywhere. And she's doing this on her phone again. I thought, oh my gosh, here we go with this phone again. Why aren't you going to let it go? And she looked at me. She said, hey, Uncle Doug, you know what? I didn't want you to think I didn't enjoy dinner. Dinner was great, but I didn't want to fill up. You know, I'm looking forward to going and having ice cream. And I said, okay, well, let's go have ice cream. Let's do whatever. She starts on her phone again. I finally said, Michelle, is everything okay? She passed me her phone and it said, spending the night with my Uncle Doug. He's the best. He's taken me to eat ice cream, which is something nobody has ever done. This is the best night of my life. And I read it and realized that she had posted it to Facebook and sent it to everyone. And I thought, wow, a 12-year-old girl that can do something like that, that's nothing but pure love. And it made me realize, well, if I had stuck with that decision of being angry, if I had stuck with this decision of, you know, why did I do this? Maybe I should have brought a friend along. Or if I had thought, well, maybe I was thinking more about me, but then I realized that the choice that was the best one was to think about her and what her needs were and what was in her heart. And so at that point, I realized that each one of these chairs kind of symbolized different things. And even though that moment had caught me off guard, that if I had spoiled the entire evening with her, she could have started telling herself things like, you know, Uncle Doug is kind of difficult. Uncle Doug is like, you know, he's not fun to be around. Uncle Doug is not really a guy that I trust or anything like that. But the whole time I had realized she was completely engaged. She was engaged in a way that I wasn't engaged. And that was her way of thinking, how can I do something special? What should I do? How do I fit in? What am I going to do to fit in this family? And I think we all have those different thoughts. We realize that our behaviors and our actions dictate how we're perceived and looked at by other people. We can have that snarky look on our face. We can have a look of happiness. We can have a look of discontent, whatever it is. But all during those times, we're putting out vibes to other people. And that's how you learn to really connect with people in general. And at a practical level, I was hoping, you know, she and I have got to connect in some way. And I knew that tonight had been the thing that I was really looking the most forward to, was to spending time with her and not letting my thought get away with me of, What am I thinking about? What is she thinking about? How do I handle this? Does she like chocolate? Does she like vanilla ice cream? I just couldn't. My mind was racing in a million different directions, wanting the entire night to go perfectly. And as far as I can tell, the night did go perfectly. And I think, as we know, whether it was that situation or any different situation in our life, I want to take a moment and look at each one of these chairs and explain them. The first chair is the red chair, and this is the coyote chair. The coyotes are clever and they're opportunistic animals. They're always on the lookout to attack. In fact, this chair is where we all misbehave. In this chair, we love to blame. We like to find that the other person's at fault. We like to punish people. And our supreme goal is to judge. And that's what we need not to do. So next time, I kind of challenge each of you, when you're in a room full of people you don't know, and someone walks in the door, and we all do this, you don't recognize them, but they stand out for some reason, you're like, check them out, like, yeah, I like him, but not so much. I hate those pants, but what's wrong with his hair? Why did he do that? Why didn't she dress up more? Why is she wearing that outfit, you know, et cetera. So we size people up and down all the time. And that's just something that we shouldn't do. We should take the time and realize that even though we may not know that person and what they're going through, that they could be one of our new future best friends. I remember one of the things that Abraham Lincoln said one time, many years ago while he was president, and he said, I don't like that man. So that means I get to know him more, and I have to get to know him more because he may be a personal friend to me in the future. And I always thought that was very, very powerful. And again, our initial reaction is to just start sizing people up and figuring them out, prejudging people. It's just not something that we should do. And I thought to myself, you know, this just doesn't matter how tonight goes. Tonight's going to be fine. It's going to turn out exactly the way it's supposed to do. And we don't always have to be right. One of the biggest lessons that I learned was sitting back and trusting and knowing that the right thing would happen. I would have the right thought and I would say the right thing. And moving along down to the yellow chair, which is the porcupine, this is when we behave like porcupines. We will feel vulnerable, we'll curl up, we'll protect ourselves because we feel it's an evil world outside. But yet we mercilessly judge ourselves in this chair. And in this chair, we turn the chair on ourselves a lot of the time and say, I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not good looking enough. I don't dress well enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not as evolved as this person. And we just think to ourselves, nobody loves me, but we need to take a survey of our feelings and think, is this how I need to be spending most of my time? Do I need to be worrying about this and caught up of how other people are going to judge me and think about me? It's quite difficult to admit our weaknesses sometimes, but yet we all suffer from self-doubt. And what do we do with self-doubt? Do we give up? Do we give in? Do we say no? We have to find resources to help us get through. The next chair here is the green chair, which is the owl. And the owl, I'm sure everyone knows, is one of those birds that can sit very still, watch everything that's happening without even moving their body. Their head can turn almost 360 degrees. I'm sure we've all seen owls in trees at different times. And they're standing back, surmising the situation constantly, thinking, okay, I'm going to watch and see how this goes. I'm not going to be the first one to reach out. I'm going to wait for someone else to reach out to me. And so we act like the owl. And as we look at them, we realize, you know, the owl is nothing as common as, say, a pigeon, a blue jay, or a red cardinal. They're very unique. And for that reason, they sometimes feel like, well, you know, I've got to stand back. I'm unique in my own way. but that doesn't mean necessarily that they should not move forward. And I think that's what I was talking about a little bit earlier, is when I was sitting in this chair here, thinking to myself, well, did I do the right thing? Did I make the right decision? Should I had a drink at Fridays? Whatever my decision was, that's kind of what the owl in that chair is doing all the time. And so the owl is always a curious bird, and it can sometimes look angry. It can sometimes look very captivating. It can look like it's a bird that you could approach. But if you notice, if you ever get close to an owl, their first thing to do is to take flight. They go away. And I think that's what some people do in life, that when they feel, you know, I'm standing out for whatever reason, I'm unique, but I've surmised this whole situation, I'm just going to leave. I'll come back next week. I'll see if the vibe is different. I'll come to the dance next week. I'll, you know, go to that benefit next month. And they always are thinking that because they are so unique, that their uniqueness makes them different from everyone else. But yet their uniqueness can be something that's very powerful and very strong. It can be something that other people are attracted to. And we move on now to the blue chair. And the blue chair is the dolphin. And I think we all know how friendly dolphins are. But this chair here, like the dolphin, they live in a world of detecting what's going on in the ocean. Is there a whale close by? Is there a bigger fish? Is there a boat? Is there something that's going to be mean to me, but yet they want to be friendly to humans? And like those dolphins, we sometimes take a magnifying glass and observe our own behaviors. It's a beautiful chair because we become self-aware. We know who we are. We know what we want. We know where we're going, and we're not afraid to speak our truth. But yet we also create our own boundaries. We look after ourselves in this chair, and we're very powerful. And the last chair down here is the giraffe. And I don't know how much you all know about giraffes, but giraffes have got the largest heart of any land animal in the entire world. They also have the longest neck because they can always stretch and look out to go out of their comfort zone. And with that big heart, kind of like what I was sharing earlier, is that if you take a chance and you have the love in your heart and you're willing to stick your neck out, so to say, like the giraffe, then things aren't going to be so bad. It may be something, a much better situation than what you had ever thought that it was going to be. And so that's why I left the last chair to be the giraffe, because even though we probably have never either seen a giraffe or been around a giraffe in person, when I learned and did some research to find out that, you know, they have the biggest heart, and they say that their heart is literally the size of a human head, which is pretty remarkable. And when you look at them in nature and the different behaviors that they demonstrate, it makes sense with having the biggest heart and the longest neck. Let's skip ahead some of my other notes. So when we're in this chair and we're looking at our perspectives, it's an invitation to look at other people's perspectives, which allows us at that point to embrace their other realities. It may be our reality, it may be their reality, but at least we're willing to look at another person's reality, and it gives us a chance to explore diversity and become more tolerant. But the most important question in this chair is, what is important for what's in front of me right now? And just remember that the intention on this chair here is to always stay connected to whatever happens. Moving around back here to back to the green chair, we try to figure out how we're going to translate this into our daily lives. And by doing so, we go to many different lengths of looking out carefully before we jump into a situation, make sure that we're going to be comfortable with it, we're going to be like the owl. Maybe it's like thinking to yourself, I'm giving a presentation at my church, and I look out, everyone seems to be enjoying it. You're like, yeah, this day's going really well. Or you could be going to a board meeting later, and there'd be a big argument or a disconcertion between people. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just, you know, what's happening? And you just want to sink back into all these chairs and figure out, where do I start again? But we all have those days, and we all have those moments where we can be more intelligent and more thoughtful. There was a book that I found that I was looking at, and it's by, I want to make sure I'm saying his name right, Viktor Frankl. And the name of the book was called Man's Searching for Meaning. And in that book, it said, everything can be taken from man, but one single thing. The last thing that can be taken are his human freedoms to choose one's own attitude in any given set of circumstances. So the next time that we want to snap at our spouse, get angry at the dog, get upset with a coworker, not agree with a board member or any other situation, we just have to remember that we should act more like the giraffe and trust. If we end up back here in the first chair, maybe I won't get back to first chair. If we get back here, we need to find the courage to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I misjudged. I didn't think of this situation that way. And give people more of a chance, because if you don't, you're missing out on a lot. And sitting in this chair here, like the coyote who's always ready to attack and always ready to find a reason to blame or anything at all, it's not the best place to sit. It's a reminder that at different times, being in a place like this is not healthy for us. It's just not. And it's a tough place to get out of. We're all human. We have these learned behaviors that we have to get past. And a lot of times it's built into our personalities. It's built into the way we've been raised and the things that were instilled in us. And I have to defer back to Michelle once again. You know, for what that child went through, and to be able to not judge or be angry at anything in life, she truly made a difference in our family's lives. Craig and I were just at her wedding in January, and she got married, and it was the happiest day of her life. And she wanted her uncles there. She wanted both of us there. That to me speaks volumes, because I have other nieces, I have other nephews. We keep in touch with each other, but she consistently is the one niece who always stays in touch with us no matter what. She is the one who sends letters. She's the one who sends cards. She sends pictures to Carol all the time of things that are going on in her life. And I think that despite her upbringing, she was able to move past that. She never sat in the coyote's chair. She never sat in the porcupine chair. She tried not to sit and judge like an owl. She was not quite as guarded as dolphins can be. She was most like the giraffe. And she has a very big heart. And I think that you can tell from the way that I talk about her, I love her as if she was my own daughter. That's the point that I have been able to get to with her. She's gotten to that place with Craig and I, and she is just such a beautiful, sweet soul. And she's always been one of those people that demonstrate to me the way of being kind and being sweet to people will get you a lot further along. And I guess the point I want to drive home is we all have a choice. We have choices every single day, every moment. Are we going to be guarded and not want to be with people? Are we going to worry and think that the situation is right? Are we going to be constantly on the lookout? and feel like someone's out or some situation is out to get me? Are we going to be like the dolphin, or are we going to be like the giraffe? So again, as simplistic as it is, and maybe it does look like Doug's show and tell from third grade, I hope that everyone will remember this. There's five chairs, five different colors. We all have a choice to make at any time. And at any point in your life, whether you're at a family gathering, a board meeting, a work situation, or with a group of friends, you can always find five chairs with five different colors and explain to others, as I've talked to you guys today, that you have choices that you can make. And at the end of the day, what color chair do you feel most comfortable in sitting most of the time? So that's all. Namaste.